Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. This week, I'm joined by Behdad Jamshidi, someone who has built his business around the power of connection in a very unique way. I'm going to call him now by his familial name, B, because that's so much easier for me to pronounce, even though I think it's interesting to deal with international names. And it's not always easy, but we'll do it. Okay. So B is known for bringing the right people together, helping business owners find the right partners, and building meaningful relationships that actually lead to results. Today, we're going to talk about what it really means to be a connector, how to build deeper relationships in business, and why it's not about how many people you know, but how well you know them. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the show, B.
Thanks for having me, Janice. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. I mean, that whole thing about connecting and building around curiosity, which we'll get into, it's just who I am too. And I was so excited when I met you to hear your take on it, because you talk in my language and I love it. So first of all, you described yourself as a connector. So what does that really mean to you in the context of business?
Oh, I think this always just like evolves over time. But when I kind of like look at my history, like I've always been a connector. So if you looked at, you know, being an engineer, a lot of my work at that time was like connecting with C-level executives, VP, understanding businesses, and then connecting those businesses to technology solutions. Like, how do you bridge the gap? But while doing that, there's other ways that the connection piece showed up, where I started running events and started finding mm-hmm. people that had similar values and goals, and just like they had a certain type of energy. And I would bring them into networking events. And at the end of networking events, people go, I hate networking in Vancouver typically, but there's something about this room that like every single person I talked to was cool. And it's like, looking back now, it's like, oh, that's kind of like my skill set. It was just like spotting people and being like, oh, you'd be really great in a room and you'd have great conversations and you create a certain energy. But I think the connection piece just comes in terms of, for me, it's kind of who I am. And I just love connecting with people, finding bridges and gaps, and putting the right people in the right same room.
So there's such a dichotomy between engineer and people connector. Okay. So did you, I'm just surmising that when you grew up, your parents encouraged you, wanted you to get a degree in some sort, and probably something very professional, and you fell into engineering that way. But maybe that isn't the true you.
Yeah. Yeah. You read it right. So like, I went into engineering because, I mean, as you know, with immigrant parents, doctor, lawyer, engineer, that's all you got. And
that's
for me,
right.
I don't want to read a bunch of papers. So lawyers out. I didn't want to spend, you know, 10 to 15 years becoming a doctor.
Yeah.
So engineer seemed like the most simplified path. So when I did that, I mean, when I went through engineering, a lot of it I didn't really enjoy, until I kind of went to an open house, and the open house was like, oh, there's a role as a sales engineer. What? There's a role where like all I got to do is talk to people, understand them, and then like bridge gaps, and it's part of selling,
okay.
Understanding. I was like, that was cool. So I did that. And as I did that, I mean, you know, the history of that a little bit as a sales engineer. But when I started building my business, my core business right now on the side, which is essentially I connect businesses to the right marketing agencies, that kind of started out with me building like websites, Google Ads, SEO, realizing I hated 80-hour websites. It was just not fun. So I started passing work off to marketing agencies and realizing most marketing agencies didn't understand business and most businesses didn't understand marketing. So there's always a gap. And I thought I could fill this gap with finding, you know, 10 marketing agencies and I'll solve all the business's problems. Little did I know that it's going to, even to this day, I've talked to over 1,156 different marketing agencies and experts and work with less than 11% in a vetted network. And I built a business literally around understanding businesses, seeing what they need, and then connecting them to the right marketing agencies and partners. And so this whole connection thing, now, as I reflected, I'm like, oh, I think this is my superpower. Like,
interesting.
And I started diving into it and thinking about, well, how do I build deep connections? Because like some of the relationships I've built are 14 layers deep. Like I had to go through meeting 13 different people across a chain.
At
any point, if one person in that chain was like, I don't like Beta, I'm not introducing him to the next person I want to introduce him to, I wouldn't have met that 14th person. And so I started kind of like reverse engineering, like how do I build deep relationships with people really, really fast? Because a lot of these people I've only talked to for 30 minutes, but the door is open to give them things or to ask for things or say, hey, I have another connection for you down the road. So how do you build those deep connections in less than 10 minutes was really what I was trying to figure out.
Excuse me. Okay, so let's start with you talk about three types of connectors. Can you walk us through those and help us understand where people might fit in?
Yeah. So specifically around like super connectors. So as you kind of get into this world, I didn't know there was like these super connectors and if they existed. Now I get called that, which is kind of strange to me, but when you build enough relationship, that happens. So I think there's three different types of super connectors. First off, you'll meet super connectors that are what I call the transactional super connector. Essentially, someone who has a really big network meets another person that also has another big network, and they go, hey, how do our networks come together so that we can both win, essentially. That's one kind of super connector. Another type I consider it like a magnetic super connector. These are people that super connecting is not their main thing. Their main thing, though, attracts people to them. So, for example, if someone runs events, they're just naturally going to know a lot of people, right? People are going to introduce them into the events. Or someone that has, let's say, I have a super connector friend of mine who's just brilliant brain-wise. Like he builds out models and things like that, like so easily. You tell him what you do, and he's just really good at building out mental models. And people introduce him as, hey, you need to go meet Michael because Michael's a genius, and I think you just need to talk to him. And so he
Is
just.
that Michael that we were talking about?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then I think you have their third type of super connector, which I think is like the intuitive super connector. This is someone who, like, at their core, just loves connecting people together. Their brain just works this way. And I think super connectors have a little bit of each one, but I think one is going to be the most dominant.
Okay. It made me think when you were talking of that the gosh, I was just talking about this. I don't know if it was to you last time we talked or to somebody else about the initial Harvard study that was done many, many years ago, right? For 6 degrees of separation, because it's never 6 degrees. And you called those super connectors, they called the hub. Those were the people that the message had to pass through, and you could do it much faster than 6 degrees. So those super connectors are the hubs, right? I love that you said that curiosity plays a big role in how you connect with people. How has that shaped the way you build relationships?
Yeah, I think curiosity in two ways. One is I think you need to understand yourself first, to really be able to connect deeper with others. If you can't connect deeply with who you are, it's really hard to connect deeply with who other people are. So I think curiosity, the way that it plays into it is one, being super curious about me, and getting to learn myself more and getting deeper and understanding that more. And when you do that, it just opens up this whole other curiosity about other people because you're like, I know how complicated I am internally. And I know the person I'm, and typically, you know, when you see people, you're like, there's not a lot going on, but you're like, no, like, the same thing that's going on in here is going on in there, right? And so when you come in with curiosity about learning about other people, what they like, who they are, what they got, it just builds this like deeper sense of connection with people because you get to understand like they feel seen, and that ability to be seen by someone is such a deep connection point, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And I think sometimes, I guess I'm more of the intuitive type because I will ask someone a question and they'll go, wow, no one's ever asked me that before. Or, wow, that's a great question. How did you know? So I think that comes from my intuition when I'm around somebody. And I love that because they, like you said, they feel seen and heard. And the best compliment, I think we talked about this, the best compliment when you're at an event or something and you're about to leave and the person says, that was the best conversation I've ever had. Thanks so much. And you've said nothing, that you've just asked them a question and they talked about themselves the entire time, which is what you want them to do because you can follow up with them and talk about what you do afterwards, right? So, now you also said something at the beginning about you didn't like networking events in Vancouver. Talk to me about that. Has anything changed? Or you created some for yourself? I know that. For me, I stopped going to them during COVID, and I don't think I've ever gone back. So I'm curious to know because I wouldn't mind being in person sometime.
Vancouver is tough. I don't know. Like it's like I run my own events and they take a lot of energy and a lot of work. It almost became a second business, like getting,
Yes.
and I'm very intentional about the events that I build. I talk to literally every single person before they come. I make sure the food is really good at a really high level, just because that's just who I am. I want
Yes.
good people. Of
Yes.
course. But I find like most networking events that I've been invited to in Vancouver are typically more transactional. The room is not really thoughtfully curated, so it's a mix of just a lot of different types of people.
Yeah.
So you end up with, talking to real estate agents and then insurance brokers and then mortgage brokers, and then you might meet one or two business owners that run, 100-person teams. And it's just such a mix.
Yes.
Whereas for me, I just thought, okay, well, can I create a room of people that I really enjoy, where it's like, seven-figure business owners or people that are doing 200K plus in profit, or someone doing something super interesting. And underneath it all, I want someone to be a well-rounded person. Like, I don't want you to just come to the meeting or come to the dinner and just all you can talk about is just business. Like, that's the depth
Or
that
yourself.
for yourself. Can
Yeah.
you pass a conversation back and forth? Like
Yeah.
earlier, you were just saying, that guy said we had a great conversation.
Yeah.
You just listened to me for 30 minutes. I'm like,
Yeah.
that's not, I mean, that's not how you build a relationship,
No,
right?
absolutely.
It'll probably be a transactional one down the road, which is fine. I mean, each relationship is own, but you want this like passing it back and forth and the person to be curious in you and then vice versa.
Yeah.
And you don't find that as much in the in certain networking events if they're not curated well.
True,
You
very
talk to
true.
people.
So, do you are you thinking when you're talking to someone or having a conversation with somebody who you can introduce them to? Does that come up for you a lot in converse in when you're talking to someone or not?
It does. It does. It comes up naturally for me quite a
Yeah.
bit, but it's like I don't do it for everyone. That's
No.
a thing. Like as I built my network and as I built my skill set, I've become more and more discerning, right? Because it's your brand, it's your name. Like
Yeah.
you're making introductions to people. You want to really get a sense of people before you make intros. The thing for me though is like when I meet someone that like I really like and I like their mission and what they're doing, what they're about. Like I will open up doors. Like for me, it's always thinking like, who can I introduce into this person that's going to help them get towards their goal and vice versa.
Yes.
Right. Like I make probably anywhere between 30 and 100 connections a week for people. Like it just
Wow.
is a lot. But it really just comes down to like who I kind of believe in. Like I think my, if I could say like my ultimate form,
Yeah.
is like, I kind of see myself as someone that down, even now I do it, but even more down the road is like if I believe in a mission and a cause and a person, like I just want to be able to open doors through people that they would not be connected to just because I built those relationships. That would be like the ultimate form.
I think that's because you're a caring person. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. All right, you've created a system to manage relationships using your CRM. Can you explain your roots, trunks, and branches model and how it works in
Yes.
practice? I love this.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, so I have a whole model around like amplified relationships and how to build deep connection with people. And a part of that is once you build those relationships, like how do you apply energy to your network, right?
Right.
Because you only have a certain amount of energy.
Right.
So the Root & Bloom model essentially starts out by me thinking, okay, how do I incorporate my business and my personal life together? Because I can't separate them. And where do I apply most of my energy to? So there's seven layers. So we start at layer one, which is the root of the tree. Right? This is the core of everything. And so these are the people that are the closest to you in life. This can be your immediate family. It can be your best friends, your top three best friends.
Yeah.
It could be on the business side, your top five employee, top five customers, your VIP customers, or your top five vendors and referrals. And so these are people that are sitting at your root level. And typically you want to apply a lot of energy to these people. Daily, weekly, you're talking and you're in contact with this part of your network. You move one level up and you start getting into the trunk of the tree. Right. So this is like the next layer of relationships that you have. These are people like your, not your immediate family, but the next closest to. I'm forgetting the word in my head, but your extended family. That's what I'm
Yeah.
going for.
Okay.
And then this could be like your good friends. This could be your next level of customers and your next level of employees in your company. Right. So the next five, for example.
Right.
And typically you want to apply, weekly energy or monthly energy to this group. And you would do it in different forms, right? Like, so for the roots and the trunks, your phone calls, text messaging, that type of stuff. As you move down the layers, you start getting into branches. And so these are kind of like the relationships you want to grow over time. They have the potential to become trunks. And so these are like your good friends. These are your next layer of customers that could potentially be your highest level customer, or your employees that could potentially become leadership role type employees. And these are people that you'll keep in contact with, but not, you know, it'll be weekly, monthly type frequency. And then you move into buds, which are basically relationships you want to build. These are people that you don't know yet, or JV partnerships you want to have, or maybe significant others or spouses that you want to have as a spouse in the future. And so you have your mind on, okay, how do I build a relationship with this person? And you might be doing that through like commenting on their Instagram or their Facebook or their TikTok, or following their newsletter and sending them email, like an email back every now and then to respond so they get to know you a little bit more. Or you literally go to an event to meet the person, which I've done multiple times for very important people that I wanted to build connections with
And you knew they were going to be there. You
and knew
did
they
your
were going to be there.
homework. Yeah.
Yeah. And those, like some of those relationships are the reasons why I've gone on stages to talk about my concepts and my talks. Also reasons why I've been introduced into certain people I would never been introduced into, right? It's very like strategic, but also like, you know, that this, you align, you can help them, they can help you, that type of thing. Once you kind of move past that, you get into like the wildflowers. So these are all like the things out in the grass plains. And these are the relationships that you have loose, strong connections with. It's not people that you're going to talk to daily or weekly or monthly. It's just people that you have in your network, and you're just aware of them. And if they respond back to you, you're happy to answer them back, and vice versa. So this is where most of your network sits. Like, I have thousands of people in this part of my network. Underneath that, you kind of have what I call the underbrush. And so that's kind of like the next layer. These are people that are transactional. You don't want to put a lot of time into, but they're not on your like your final list. They're people that you'll still kind of respond to, but you won't give a lot of time to, right? And then finally, you have your thorns. These are people that have either wronged you, you don't align. These are just people that you want to stay away from and not have any communication with. So this is kind of how I built out my CRM and my model for relationships.
That took a lot of work, I bet.
It did.
I mean, you've got 12,000 connections on LinkedIn alone. So, yeah. But that's good because I just a little aside, I think I asked you this. When was the last time you exported your connections from LinkedIn? Because you definitely want to do that every once in a while in case something, God forbid, happens. However, it's also a good place to look to start to look at those different levels from the roots on up. Of the relationships, and you can start to sort. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Many people, though, struggle now to stay connected and stay in touch consistently. So, what are some you mentioned a couple. What are some simple ways business owners can nurture relationships without it feeling overwhelming?
Okay, just small things like pings, right? Like, so a friend of mine and a lot of like friends talk about like how they just leave little voice notes for people, right? Like, hey, you crossed my mind, blah, blah, blah. Here's this thing. Or, hey, you recommended a book to me. I read it. Thank you so much. This is the thing that I took away. Just like little pings to people so that you just stay in contact and connection, right? One of my favorite ways is to run events or little dinners, right? So there's a lot of people who want to meet and chat and meet one-on-one, and I don't have that much time. Right. So I will put on events where everyone ends up in one place, right? And bring people towards me. Or just like just jumping on a call. Like anytime that I'm going from one location to another location, I'll just call someone for 15 minutes and just say, hey, just checking in, got 15 minutes. You put a time limit to it, so it doesn't have to go too long either. And you just connect with people in that way.
So you're one to pick up the phone then.
Yeah.
And do people, how many, what percentage of people answer?
Maybe one out of every four. People don't like the phone as much these days.
No, I love it though, because we're going back. We have to keep doing it. We have to, because we need that personal touch these days.
Yeah, and it's not with like everyone. It's obviously people in my root and my trunk network, right? So you're very intentional about the people that you keep in touch with. One of the other small ways that I'm doing it now is like I took the Root and Bloom model, I put it into my CRM. And now every like 3 or 4 weeks, I'm sending emails to people within my model. And their emails are like, hey, I found a really interesting article around life and how to think of this perspective, or it's a business thing, or whatever it is. It's just a mass way of hitting a lot of people at one time. And then people respond with what resonates with them. Plus the things that they click on, I'll be like, oh, they're still interested in this. So I know in the future that like they'll take more of those types of emails, for example.
Okay, you mean they click on the article that you send them or something like that? Okay. The one thing you haven't mentioned that of course is in my world is sending cards to people.
Oh, I like
And
it.
that can be systemized as well, okay?
Tell me how
Just so
you did
that you're
it.
touching base on a regular basis. So, for, $5 a card done automatically through this an online system, you can send real cards in the mail, okay? So for what, six touches, let's say, during the year, it's cost you, $30 or sorry, yeah, $30. And you never know what kind of return that can have. Just that heartfelt touch can be worth lots. So there's that aspect as well. And as I said, it can be pre-programmed or systemized as well, which is good to know.
Smart one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I often see people treating platforms like LinkedIn. Oh yeah, this is good. I often see people treating platforms like LinkedIn the same as other social media. Somebody will say to me, well, I do, I post 3 times a week all on all the platforms, but they send the same thing out on all the platforms. What do you think about that? Because I think that's a mistake in that LinkedIn is a different animal. So I don't know what your take is.
My take is it depends on where you are in business, right? Like if you're kind of like starting out and you're like you don't have the resources to be able to like individually look at each individual social channel and go, I need to post something specific for each individual one. Just getting a system where you can even post that many times, I think that's step one. Once you
Okay.
get done step one, the next piece is okay, how can I now iterate on what I currently have to continuously make it better, right? And so that's kind of like where my thought is. Like, obviously, LinkedIn is different than Instagram, which is different than TikTok, too. But if you don't have the resources to have like specific resources to make sure you know exactly what the LinkedIn algorithm wants, just get them out there and then start iterating and figuring out which platform matters the most and then get really honed in. That's kind of like my thought process on
Well,
it.
I am curious about taking that sort of question around the marketing agencies, okay? Because I sometimes will talk to my client who will say they have a marketing agency that does their content for them, and I say, what do they do that for? Well, they do it here and they send it out to everything. And the marketing agency should know better.
Yeah.
And someone who does the social media management for a company that doesn't know the difference, that's what drives me crazy.
Yeah, that part makes a lot of sense. And I mean, if you think about the social media agency front, like that's really hard to find a good one because they're really expensive if they do it really well.
I know, of course they are. But then, do most of them that you've looked at treat them all the same? Or do they have people who focus on LinkedIn social media and focus on, the others?
There's different levels. This is why the agency space is so like crowded. So if you have a social media agency saying, "Hey, we'll charge you $2,500 to $3,000 a month to do your social media, we'll do three posts a week, and et cetera," you're just getting average level stuff. That's the truth of it. If you're looking at someone to do like LinkedIn at a really, really high level, it's gonna probably cost you 8 to 13 grand a month on average just to do LinkedIn really, really well because. It's one aspect of it is the content. The other aspect is how do they actually boost those posts? How do they engage? How do they do all the other stuff? And then there's a whole bunch of other gray hat tactics that they use to grow. And I've seen people in my influencer network grow quite large doing that. But it's like if you're paying $3,000 a month, you're getting an average level agency doing average level stuff across all the platforms. Once you start getting very specific and focused, like if you want to just do YouTube or you want to just do Instagram, or whatever, you're going to be paying a lot more than that just for that individual channel to find those expertise that people can actually help you grow. Because if you think about it, scripting, the videos, the cutting, the testing, the amount of work that goes into doing social well is really hard.
And it's a crapshoot at the best times, right? That's why I come full circle again and would rather talk to people, right? And build connections and build relationships. But yeah, but I had to ask that because that's one of the things I come across that I find frightening, actually, that the so they're hiring and spending a lot of money to have somebody do their content, and it's not specific to the platform. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. You've also explored the science behind human connection. What have you learned about why connection matters so much, especially as we grow our businesses?
Yeah, so I mean, from a there's so many studies that are done on human connection at this point. Things down to like the Harvard study, which a lot of people have heard of, where they followed like 728 different men. Over the course of the last like 80 years, and half were from not half, but 400-ish were from the Boston area, and another like 230, 240 were from like Harvard graduates. And they kind of asked the question of like, what allows people to live a long and healthy life? And they found one of the key indicators was just the depth of human connection. Like it allowed you to recover from disease faster, built you deeper connections, you were more mentally resilient, you lived longer just because you built human connection. And there's studies done where it's literally as isolation moves up, your mortality rate moves up. And there's other studies done from like, they followed 1,234 heart attack patients, and the ones that lived alone had a double reoccurrence rate of getting a heart attack within 6 months than the ones that were surrounded by others and felt connected. And there's so many of these types of studies. So just in terms of like living a long and happy life, human connection is really important. When it comes to business, I think everyone knows what it's like to leave money on the table. Like everyone gets that. But I don't think people realize the number of opportunities they leave on the table because they haven't built deep enough relationships.
That's
Right?
big.
And it's huge. And it's like the type of opportunities I'm talking about are things that like I could never have imagined that would happen for me. Right? Like things like I never knew that through building human connections and relationships and building my business, I'd be able to live internationally and visit 55 European cities and support my wife doing her master's in human international rights law. Like that's something I could never imagine. Or getting into $50,000 rooms and not having to pay $50,000 to get into those rooms. Like I got in those rooms at no cost. It's because of the relationships I built. I'm going to a very well-known conference coming up, and those tickets are $12,000 American. I got it for free just because of the connections and the relationships that I had built to do that. So there's like all this stuff that happens, and like even on the business fronts from referrals and people trusting and all that stuff, like human connection is the foundation of business. If you find one right connection at the right time, it shifts the entire trajectory of your business than it is trying to do it yourself.
That's
So
true.
I have a
So
lot of faith for that.
let me ask you this. We met through an introduction from David Holman, who is on my podcast, Orchestrated Connections. And David talks about, gosh, I just lost my brain, just went out the window. David talks about asking for what you want. So how does that fit into what you were just talking about?
So, when you're on a call, almost every, if someone's like intentional focused, relationship focused, typically they'll ask you the question, how can I help you? Right. And most people don't know how to answer that question. And a lot of people are afraid to answer that question because they're like, I'm asking for something. Right? And they feel bad about it. My whole thing around that is know what you want, like know what your goals are. This comes back to self. Like, what's your goals? What's your life mission? What are you trying to do? Because when people ask me, what do I want? I go, cool, I got two main things I'm focused on. One is building out CJAM and continuing anyone needing marketing services and helping support them. That's one thing. And the second thing is I want to talk about amplified relationships and how to build deep connection in less than 10 minutes. And I want to do that on stages and podcasts. So if you know anything for that, great. Those are my two goals in life. How easy is it for you to go, I have a podcast, or hey, I have this thing, or I have an intro for you? Because you actually know what I want. Right. So I think you have to put it out there. You got to know what you want. And then people want to help. Right.
And the way you just framed it, it doesn't feel self-serving in, right? It doesn't. And if you're talking to people who think the same way, they get it, right? And so, okay, so if I may, and you don't have to answer this. This conference that you're going to, that you are going for free, tickets are $12,000 US. How did that come about? Can you share that in a general way that isn't going to,
Yes, again.
me, that's an example,
Yes, as
right?
an example to show people. So for example, I got invited by another connector in the city to come to an event. It was like a pre-event for this event. And I went and I was like, part of me actually didn't want to go. I was kind of tired and stuff, but like some intuition in me was like, you know
You got to
this.
go. And this was a free event.
This was a free event. Yeah, it was just like a make sure it's invite only, very specific types of people. So I went and man, there were some amazing people in that room, like so many cool people. And then I got to meet the director of community for this event. And I was like, cool. Like maybe I can jump on a call with her and see, just learn more about what she does, what her goals are, where are they trying to head? And as I did that, and we did have that call, I was like, okay, now I know what her goals are. The goal is to fill the room with as many amazing people as possible. This is her target audience. Which are entrepreneurs that are doing seven, eight, nine figures. And I know that I used to like working in the corporate space before. I didn't have a lot of connections into the entrepreneurship community. But now I do because of what I do. And like, I know a lot of people that run a lot of communities that are literally their target audience. So I went, hey, I could probably help here. And I know at least 10 to 15 names just off the top of my head that I can make introductions to that likely would have the people that are coming to the event, but they know they have the entire audience of the people you want to come to it. Would it be useful for me to make those intros? And she's like, yeah, it would be. And I was like, great, like I can do that. And then I've always wanted to go to this event. Is there anything that I, like, any way that I could join it? She's like, there might be if you're making these intros. And I started highlighting. I had to meet with another director, also understand her goals and their objectives and highlight things. I got soft no's twice. And then on the third one, she's like, no, you know what? These people that you're introducing to us are going to be really useful. And if you're giving us the strategy on how to connect with them and how to think about the relationship, we can 100% give you a ticket for free. And so it was really just understanding them, their goals, where they're headed, and being like, how can I add so much value that it's worth it for you to have me at this event?
And you had already started to do that. You had already
Exactly.
started to
Yeah.
introduce them, and they liked the people they were talking to.
Exactly.
No, that's good. That's good. But you also have to ask, right? If you don't ask, you don't get. So, and took the third time lucky. So that's good.
And being told no, like soft no's, and being like, no, I still think there's something here. The cool part about that is like I went in with it, was like, if I got a ticket out of this, that'd be super cool. And if I don't, that's also totally okay. Right? Like I was still gonna go to LA for another event anyways. So this just means I stay in Vancouver.
Very good. Thanks for sharing that. Because I always say, I think I grew up with my father saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And it sort of stayed with me from then.
Yeah. And I'd add one thing to that. It's not what you know, it's who you know, but also the depth of relationships you've built with them.
Because sometimes it's not what you know, it's not even who you know, it's who they know.
Yeah.
So you have to have that depth of relationship. So yeah, absolutely makes sense. All right. For someone listening who already has a network, but they're really not nurturing it, where should they start?
Start with whatever you possibly can. Like, just start with the easy stuff. So if you're able to get, like, for example, for me, I was getting everyone into my CRM, from customers that didn't close with me to customers that have closed with me to my network, and just like setting up a system to be like, how do I stay in touch with these people once a month? Could it be an email I send? Whatever feels good to you. Or if you have like a smaller network and it's more quality, then you can just go, I'm just gonna text people once. I'm gonna spend Tuesday and Thursday morning 15 minutes. I'm just gonna ping people and then leave it at that and then move on with my day. You know, like, or even at the end of your day. Back when I used to work in corporate, every Friday I had about 30 minutes I left aside to just thank people that have helped me in the company. Right? Just be like, hey, it really helpful that you helped me over the last 2 weeks over this. I want to just really appreciate that. You know, just little things. It doesn't have to
I
be
know.
large.
One of the things that I practice, not as well as probably I could, I didn't say should because I don't believe there's a should thing, but is what I call acting on your promptings. Because usually during a day, for some reason unknown, somebody will come into my consciousness, which means I need to send them a card or I need to do something, pick up the phone. Usually it's sending them a card. And you just put it out there into the universe. I mean, you don't have any expectations in return, which I'm sure you're the same with whatever you're doing. Do you notice that it does bring more calls or brings them back into your consciousness because they reply? Like, what percentage would reply?
Almost everyone replies. Like, that's not really the thing. Like, and you're just on top of mind. Like, that's really what it comes down to, right? So, like, for me, my social media is not done at the highest level where, like I'm getting better at storytelling and practice. Like, I'm having fun with it. But it's because whenever I meet someone at a networking event or whatever, like, they're in my network. They would follow me on Instagram or somewhere on Facebook or on LinkedIn. And it's just a reminder of, like, hey, B's doing this. This is what's going on in B's world. Which is super cool because when we jump on a call, they're like, B, I've been following you for like the last 2 years and done this and done that. Cool. We just start off the conversation so I don't have to, like, you know what I mean? I can spend more time understanding them. And that's kind of how I think about it.
Brilliant. I love it. I could talk for hours, but I'm going to ask you a couple of quick, I guess, lightning round type questions because I have my curiosity, and then we'll call it a day. How do you best process information these days? Do you read? Like, do you read hardcover books, or do you listen, or do you video watch? Like, what do you do most?
Oh, so I mean, it's a little bit of everything. I read. I have a business coach, so then as I'm learning stuff, I use time to get things processed. And then I talk to people. Like the reason why I connect with people, like I'll throw my perspective on something, they'll pass it back, and then I synthesize information from a lot of different places and then bring it to one. And so I use all the mediums I possibly
Do
can.
you read novels, or are you, is it all business related?
No, so I do read novels. I got into because I believe there's like these stories, and I want to get better at storytelling. And
Yes.
like I found reading those novels, one, you're learning about life in a weird way, but you're also enjoying the process. And so it's a mix of two. I do read some business books and stuff like that, but it's always kind of like it shifts depending on like what my mood is.
Right. My podcast that just went out today, just launched today, talks about telling storytelling, and it's a wonderful one. I'm just trying to find the name of the book. Story Intelligence is the name of her book. The Craft of Authentic Storytelling Made Smarter with AI, and she does not use AI to tell the stories, but she's really amazing. And
Amazing.
that would be a book that you might enjoy because she's an like the storytelling is so comes so easily to her, and I find it really difficult. So this book was very helpful.
Oh,
So
cool. I
yeah,
have it opened up on my screen.
there
Yeah,
you go.
storytelling has like they all have their structures, and if you just understand the few different structures, you can blend them together.
Someone who can tell a good story, just they keep you so enthralled or so, right? It's funny because now I'm thinking this gentleman I interviewed on my podcast a couple of years ago, he's like a CSP, is that what they're called? Like he's American. So the highest level of the Speakers Association, where you have to, it's like a 2-year process where you have to get paid X amount of money for your speaking engagements for so long, and you have to do all this. Anyway, he's one of those. He's the highest level. And he was telling a story on my podcast, and it was so, it's just lovely to hear and to how well people can do that. It's an art. It's really an art.
Because I think stories hit people's emotions
Of
versus
course they
logic,
do.
right? And
Yeah.
like people make emotional decisions. That's just all we do. So the better you get at storytelling, the more you can actually move people towards the direction that they want to move towards. And
Exactly.
so when you look at the greatest leaders in the world, what are they really good at?
Telling stories. Yeah, it's for sure. And I love that you're doing that. So I wish you well with it, and I'll be watching and listening.
Yeah, sounds good.
So thank you for being here today. And where can people find you?
The two places, so LinkedIn would be number one. So Behta Jamshidi, if you look that up, I'm there quite often.
Yeah.
On my website, www.cjammarketing.com. That's where all my marketing stuff is. And
I'll
we've
put those in the show notes. So,
Thanks,
yeah.
Max.
Okay, we're good. All right. So, great conversation. Love your perspective on relationships, especially the idea that it's not just about meeting more people, but about going deeper with the ones we already know. And for those listening, I hope this inspires you to take a closer look at your own network and think about how you can stay connected and be more intentional in your relationships. Thank you so much, B, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.